I'm gonna play this after Jordan spoils The Witcher 3.
Okay.
I won't use people's names. The guy with the gray hair and his daughter.
Ashen hair.
Wait, I know who you're talking about.
The girl with the ashen hair.
With the scar on the eye.
You don't know who I'm talking about. I've not said their names.
I'm sure there's a scar on her eye.
But with a very distinctive scar.
With a very distinct sphincter.
A sphincter. The scar on her sphincter.
With the sphincter scar. Yeah. That's an interesting story.
Welcome to Super Gaming Best Friends from HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Lacey.
Wait, what? Am I two people or am I one person?
You said hi. I was just saying hi back.
Oh, okay. That's polite. Jordan Wilson being polite for the first time in his life. It's a monumental occasion.
I'm always polite, you son of a... I'll kill you when I see
you. All right. Jordan's back.
There he is.
Yeah. It's Wednesday, June 3rd, Aaron McNeil sitting idly by, talking to my other persona.
Trying to see what Lacey thinks about my glasses and goatee.
Oh, Google effects in effect. I like the
Use your imagination. I like the
multicolored goatee on top of the,
on top of
the beard.
It's a nice, salt and pepper look you got going on there.
That's what I'm going for. I feel like a jazz man. Skeedly bop.
Skeedly bop.
Skeedly bop.
Skeedity bebop.
I think that's the name of that beard in the free DLC from Witcher.
It's called the Skeedly bop.
Give me the Skeedly bop.
Oh,
I need to go back to the barber.
Oh, neckbeard Geralt.
Oh man.
Neckbeard.
I got the hipster DLC.
Is Geralt waiting in line for horse blinders?
He's got a button up plaid t-shirt and a nice big thick neck beard.
Your new shipment of horse blinders coming?
Those are the new horse binders. I wanted the old retro ones.
The 8-bit version.
Did you get some nerdy voice pack that I missed?
Yeah, I got that too.
Right. Yeah. It was free.
It's all still free.
Yeah, it's free.
I really wanted to see.
I didn't pay them anyway.
Old gravelly Geralt say skeedly bop, but.
Skeedly bop.
Actually, I just want to see.
I just played hide and seek. For the podcast, I did the hide and seek, and that part's pretty funny.
I just want to find the longest game, like a Final Fantasy game, and have Geralt and Solid Snake narrate the whole thing, and see if I can tell
the same guy.
That's too gravelly. No, you wouldn't be able to handle that.
No, too gravelly. Yeah. And then they replace them both with Kiefer Sutherland in the middle of the game, and we'll see if anybody notices. I don't even know what's happening. Let's do some game pitches, guys. We got our random game generator. We've got several choices here.
Great choices.
One of them that didn't make the cut because it's too normal. an adventure game where you vanquish giant monsters in the deepest oceans.
It's too easy. It's too
Monster
easy.
Monster Hunter 3. We got to throw it out.
So what made the cut, Aaron?
What made the cut?
Yeah.
I've got two options here. Do you want me to just pick one on the spot right now?
Don't even say the other. If you felt good enough to put your name by them, you go ahead and...
Damn it, you two, there are rules.
Skeedly bop. I felt really good. So my first one was a sim game where you grossed up on police stations until you own everything.
Interesting.
I assume means you own the police station.
It's Fable
you
4,
own everything.
Right?
What's Fable 4?
It's Fable 4, yeah.
There's police stations in any Fable game?
There's everything in
there's
Fable
real
games.
There's all the real estate.
There is not everything in a
there's
Fable
everything.
Game.
There's a dog.
Everything is promised in
you
a Fable game.
You can lose that dog.
I was gonna say, if he could
is the dog a cop?
Describe the Fable series. Maybe. It's everything and nothing.
So you own everything, and yet there's nothing.
All right, so Fable and what else?
A god game where you mutate livestock to save the environment.
How?
Oh, so cows that don't... Cows that don't fart. Okay.
Does it come with
cows
the hippie DLC?
Extra. It comes with all the hippies are there.
Cows that fart oxygen. Gotcha.
All right, Jordan, you didn't put your names next to what he just talked about. What'd you put your name next to?
I put my neck. Jordan put his name next to a turn-based strategy game where you conquer strongholds with love.
That doesn't sound like you at all. I don't think you believe in that one. I went with a shooting game where you drive cars with cavemen to avenge your girlfriend. Didn't get any reaction. All right.
Who's driving the car?
It's difficult
to be determined.
It's difficult to know where to start with that one.
Caveman invented the wheel.
Caveman.
Gosh. I like all of them, but Jordan's.
I'm just picturing Fred and Barney as your co-pilots. run faster, guys. We got to catch up to them.
Are your girlfriend dead? Guess you're avenging her.
I'm throwing out Jordan's unless anybody...
All right. Yeah.
Okay. What else we got?
Too much love.
Anybody else have a...
Can you handle the love?
Vote between these two.
I like
love tonight.
I like my God game more than my police station sim game.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you would.
Yeah.
Down to two, Jordan. Pick one.
Mine.
Yours is gone.
I give you shit about picking your own. Yeah. I pick my own. It's expected of me, though.
You're either shooting or you're God.
See, this is why I never give him power, because even when he's trying to make jokes, he's just dragging us on. waiting for me to do a pregnant pause and ruin the entire segment.
And you just removed it, so now I don't even remember what it was that I chose.
These are the two you have to choose from. These are the two you have to choose from.
One has a name and the other doesn't.
But you got rid of mine.
Yeah, I told you we were getting rid of yours.
Oh, you bastard.
Yours doesn't exist.
Okay, let's go with the caveman one. We'll go with Justin's, just to fight myself.
Justin's or Lacey's?
Both.
All right. We got a shooting game where you drive cars with cavemen to avenge your girlfriend. What questions do we have about this?
Okay.
Double dino.
Is this taking place in the era of cavemen, or is this a...
these are the Geico cavemen.
I could be a time travel adventure.
Or have you found a caveman in a block of ice and you've thawed him out and Pauly Shore is... with us.
Well, unfortunately, this is an advert game brought to you by Geico.
Yeah, it's a Geico browser game.
Yeah, about.
Well, I don't even remember those commercials. What was the joke? Was it that they were
cavemen? No
funny. Hey, how about this caveman?
They were sophisticated cavemen? I don't remember.
They were in funny situations where cavemen shouldn't be.
It was like our cavemen. There was a line though, like. You know, aren't cavemen
Geico, yeah, Geico was so simple, even a caveman could do it. That's what it was.
Well, that's
I like Jordan's version better, though. Aren't cavemen stupid or something?
Aren't cavemen stupid? That's stupid. Something.
Okay, so you're... remember.
My thinking not so good, hard.
Okay, so a shooting game where you drive cars with cavemen, that to me says the cavemen are in the car with you and doing all the shooting.
Oh, yeah, okay. Or they could be driving. Maybe
the car is...
This is where you drive cars.
Getting their learning permit so they can drive.
Unless it's like a fleet of cars and they're also driving. Like it's like four or five cars.
I like that.
Like a Mad Max.
Like a Mad Max, yeah.
Relevant.
Very relevant. Timely.
A BC Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are Flintstone cars. Did we decide on that?
So are they cars or are they just dinosaurs with a bunch of armor on? We're just calling them
Dino Riders. Can we get another Dino Riders?
Yeah, and we'll bring back the Dino Riders. Yeah, and then I can use the same title screen artwork.
I was gonna say,
you're already finished.
I think you're.
Yep, I'm done.
You got to be careful not to do a Hanna-Barbera copyright infringement on this one too.
But what happened to your girlfriend? Who are you chasing down?
Someone else that also has cars or is very fast, because you need these cars to accomplish avenging your girlfriend. Oh, she's dead.
I don't know. I've never watched a Fast and Furious.
She needs to be avenged.
What are the plot lines?
What's
the plot line of Fast and Furious?
Cars.
Car. Well, yeah. That I can get from the
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel,
the hero.
Do stuff. There are cars.
Ludacris is really smart. He's a hacker.
Luda, he is a hacker.
Yeah,
he says some crazy stuff.
I thought
so
you
Ludacris,
the hacker
went back in time to get a caveman girlfriend and killed her, and it's a crossover with Fast and the Furious. Yes,
they bring Paul Walker back.
So the newest movie they finally closed the chapter on
too soon.
Fast and Furious story timeline. So now they have to go not even a prequel. We're going to go all the way back in time to the beginning of time.
Yeah,
the pre-prequel.
Yeah.
So it's but it's also it's if it's a shooting game and you've got these this like army of cars, so it's kind of Twisted Metal too. Okay. Right? Because it's got to be it's got to be vehicular combat with dinosaur cars.
And David Jaffe's jam.
To hunt down the dude that
Jaffe jam.
I mean, it could use the Mad Max plot where somebody just ran over your girlfriend. I think it's actually you're hunting down like a giant brontosaurus that stepped on her and has no idea.
And you're just yeah, I didn't mean to do it.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, you're not chasing people in with cars. You are in the cars and you're chasing after like a bunch of velociraptors or something like that.
Yeah, I think like the other animals just keep getting in your way. I like this idea of this brontosaurus is just oblivious the entire time, and you've got to basically
get
you got to get upgrades until it actually notices you.
It doesn't know why it's being chased. You're like you're just pinching at its ankles. It's just and it's just scared and running.
Yeah, it's trying to get back to its family, and you're trying to murder it because it accidentally stepped on your girlfriend. It's like, oh no, I won't ever see my children again.
But the velociraptors on motorcycles keep getting.
Yeah, they're involved. You know, action.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a squad of cavemen and velociraptors on motorcycles.
Yes, yes. It's also rash.
You're chasing them. So everyone's got chains too. The velociraptors are riding motorcycles and they're using chains as weapons.
Uh-huh. And you've got to have like the dinosaurs with the fins on, like the single fin. Like I think it's the Metrodon. Is that right? With the so they can be like punk, punk looking.
I'm no whale biologist, but that sounds about it.
Sounds about right.
All right, and the final battle is the brontosaurus finally realizes that it's been attacked for the last 10 hours.
It finally realizes that it's much larger than everything chasing it, and steps
on you.
Should probably just turn around and step on everything. Yeah,
I think it steps on you, and you are reunited with your girlfriend. That's how the game ends.
Oh, spoilers!
Spoilers!
Jeez, Justin,
no reason to make this game.
No one's gonna play it now.
Yeah. Well, we'll release a bunch of DLC later.
It's not about the ending. It's about the journey. It's about the
We'll release the real ending as DLC later. Then it'll be fine.
Let's just have three different endings and they'll all be terrible. And then we'll put out DLC where everyone has a party, Mass Effect style.
God, that was so awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Everyone loves
it. I started watching it on YouTube and then I was like, nope. I want to play this. I want to buy this.
I haven't played it yet. I got to get it all out of my mind. So then I just show up at the party, oblivious. I'm like, hey, these guys are cool.
It's fantastic.
So what do we name our oblivious brontosaurus hunting game?
Well, since I didn't come up with anything, I've got nothing.
All right, sweet.
So this is in the past. So the
in the past.
I think BC being in the title.
Some old timey names.
Mad Max
Bronto
BC.
Chase. Yeah, Bronto Chase BC. Starring Mad Max, Mel Gibson, Vin Diesel.
it's gotta do a Fast and Furious reference too.
Elvira.
Okay, you've got
Bronto Chase.
Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous.
Cretaceous. Which ones did the Brontosaurus actually live in? We gotta get this. We gotta get these.
All
if we're going that. If we're going
this
science with it. We gotta get the facts right.
We want to be scientifically accurate here with our time traveling.
Do you think he saw us? So, that's the name of the game. No.
Okay. Do you think he saw us?
I was reading an article about the Jurassic period. What'd you say?
I'm on Wikipedia right now.
Doing my research. Paleozoic era. Pre-Cambrian. Anybody? Is that?
I don't know what you're doing. I think you're. Are you just reading eras, or are you trying to figure out where when the Brontosaurus actually?
No, was. I was just reading eras.
Which dynasty? Where the Brontosaurus is from?
Dynasty warriors.
Dynasty warriors.
And let's get all of our facts right, because cavemen are hunting dinosaurs. Also, that happened.
Yeah. Genghis Khan, was he around when the Brontos accidentally murdered girlfriends?
Let's call it Fast and Furious Evolution.
That sounds like there's a Dragon Ball evolution. It sounds awful. Absolutely terrible. Title alone.
I'm okay with Fast and Furious Evolution. Because it's dumb.
Okay.
Well, that's what it is now.
Unless Aaron can come up with something in the next couple of seconds. And just
well, sweet and sour game. Sweet and dour, that's what it was. Yeah.
So good.
Nothing's better than that. I'm tapped.
No, that was it. Yeah, we might as well just hang our hats up. That was we can't do any better than that.
This is the last game pitch segment, folks.
Fast and Furious Evolution, a shooting game where you drive cars with cavemen to avenge your girlfriend.
From an oblivious brontosaurus.
We're going to have to pay for those rights.
Why is everybody chasing me?
We're getting ahead of the game generator there. All right. It's time for our games of the show. Real video games. I think we have to open with the big one and just see how much time we have left for everything else.
Puzzles and Dragons.
All right.
I'm playing it right now, guys. I can't focus.
Can't stop matching.
It's been a long time since I think the entire site minus one person. I guess two people. It's been a long time since most of the site was all playing the same game at the same time, just for cross-platform reasons. But
it felt that way.
The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt has taken over Horrible Night, and we haven't talked about it yet, which is kind of crazy for as much as I know everybody's been playing it.
Jordan's literally shaking to talk about it.
To set the stage, since we've all got our hunting tails.
Explode.
Let's kind of give some background and let people know where you are. We're going to try to avoid spoilers as much as we can. If that involves muting Jordan, I'm willing to do that. So one of the most freeing things I did was at the last minute, I thought I was going to have to go back and play through Witcher 2 because I never got through it, but it was just like
me neither.
Like that last week, I was like, man, I should really do this.
Well,
but
someone who actually played The Witcher 2 and played it within the last year,
yeah,
that wouldn't have helped.
Well, I ended up reading Kotaku's primer.
Yeah, so most of the main characters in The Witcher 3 are never even mentioned or brought up or seen in The Witcher 2.
Which is great I can still go enjoy that game when because I have a feeling I'm going to still be on a Geralt high that I need to go back and play it at some point.
Sounds tasty.
And it's giving me more confidence to go back and play the harder games. But that was huge for me to like actually make that leap and not hold myself to trying to play through that last game. Because I've got a level. I'm at level 11 now. I've gone through... I love this game. So I could go on and on about it, and we're about to, but I'm kind of curious, Aaron, where are you at in the game now?
So a lot happened to me around the time The Witcher 3 came out.
Yes.
And so I'm surprised that I was able to actually get into it.
No, where are you in the game, not in your life?
Oh, in my home.
Yeah,
Walk me through
you and your marriage. I want to know about the video game.
The counseling I'm going through right now.
Yeah, walk me through your platform selection for this. I'm kind of curious.
So I got it on PC because that's the way I have to do it. Because I have Witcher 1, which I finished, and Witcher 2, which I also did not finish, and those are on PC. And one of the first things that happens on Witcher 3 is it's like you want to import your save choices from the. Witcher 2 or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, all one choice that maybe you're going to import.
That almost
bring it on over.
I picked Shawnee. That's too far back.
Like, wait, is that from Witcher?
That's from the first Witcher. Sorry.
I don't remember what happened.
I thought you said old things.
It was 15 years ago. Keep going.
I thought you said Shawnee from Saints Row. So
that's what I was thinking of. Shawnee. No, I had Geralt amnesia like he had.
Which is also great. Like the fact that's the other reason you don't have to realize anything, because he didn't know shit either. Like
he didn't remember anything. That entire game could have been whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were books until
playing on the PC.
So yeah, I'm playing on the PC. I'm level nine.
Which is only worth mentioning because you could have got it on that other thing that you got.
I could have gotten it on a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that's silly. You can't download and install mods.
Yeah, I can't get that nude mod.
Whoa.
But the game's already got a bunch of nudity in it, so I guess what's the point?
Because more nudity?
I was going to say, what?
What else do you make naked in that game?
What a lazy mod.
The horse.
The horse, Roach. Roach, yeah. Crumbs? The whole point of Roach is to put clothes on him. I want to see a naked water hag. Got a gross tongue as it is.
So you're level 9?
Yeah, so I'm level 9. I've been... Okay. Everything's so distracting in that game, but it's so easy to play. It's so much easier to play than 2 for me. Right.
So level 9. Aaron and I can have a comfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Jordan?
Yeah. I'm level 63.
Shut up.
Okay. I'm really grinding to get those levels up. No, I've had the game for a week. I'm about 60-some hours in the game. Okay. I can't quite tell you where I am in the game without explaining.
Obviously,
major moments happen in the game.
I think with the way this open world works and the way that you can take on quests, like the only way...
Geralt has just had his third child, all right?
So he does get pregnant.
So what level are you?
Three different women. Oh, I don't know. 19. I'm level 19. And it's because I am doing I'm actually not that far into the game. I'm just doing every single little side quest. And if there's a question mark on the map, I'm
heading there.
Okay.
So that was one of my favorite moments. So they have the great kind of opening section in White Orchard. I thought that was really well done, especially from the side of they just threw you into the open world, and it was just really well handled versus like. I don't know, kind of walking you through a linear section and not letting you explore outright. Like I thought that was a really smart choice.
That's how The Witcher 2 starts.
That's how 2 starts.
And it's super long, which doesn't matter because you have no idea how to play this game or who anybody is or what the world's like. So give me linear story playing before they open it up into the large, more open world. Because the first game was that way too, I think. And when it opened up, I think the first game opened up real large too.
Well, it was kind of like ripping the Band-Aid off early because it was just like, you're in this, but you're also, I wrote about it. It instantly felt familiar with me as soon as they gave me my horse because I did not expect to like recall Red Dead Redemption right out of the gate. It was just like, I was like, I expected it to feel very Skyrim and that it was,
it kind of does,
you know, bringing it back to a game that there's been nothing else really like it. That was just big, dumb smile on my face. I was so happy to pick flowers. It just felt like home. It was great. And so an amazing start to the game. And but when you kind of get through that opening area, the
hinterlands.
Yeah, the hinterlands.
Get out of the hinterlands.
Leave White Orchard.
That's one nice thing. You can't really over-level in White Orchard, so I'll give them that too. But as soon as I got out to the real world, got out to Velen, and I was running around getting some question marks and did some quest, and then I kind of rode off into the road, and I think I was level 6 at the time, and just ran by some ghouls that were, I think, level 14. They took one swipe at me, and I died. And I was just like, oh, shit, this world is terrifying.
And that's when you learn early on, always equip Quain. Always.
Quinn. Is it Quain?
Yeah, the shield.
Always have that active.
But you can't do that when you're on the horse. You can't, like...
That's true.
I didn't know I could be attacked on the horse. So it was just like, I was like, I can at least run by these guys and one swipe, dead. And
I'm hardly ever ride the horse.
I used to get from place to place.
Yeah, from place to place, then I like to hop off.
Until you fill out the map, it's useful. But
to everyone's house.
When you got to get those fast travel points.
Because I was getting this... Like, well, it's going to take forever to call the horse over, jump on the horse, and then it's going to take a minute for the horse to get going, and then we're going to hit a bush, and then we're going to back the horse up. Screw it. It's only 100 meters away. I'll just run there.
So
and I can pick flowers along the way.
And you can pick the flowers.
So I was basically...
all the flowers.
You need... we'll get to inventory management, but...
saddlebags.
So I was basically... What'd you call
them? It was rude. Justin hasn't slept for a while, but his eyes don't look that bad.
I meant it lovingly. You can store a lot of
water. You can store a lot of water.
A lot of water, a lot of dried fruit, raw meat.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a snack on that raw meat. It's almost as good as wolf's liver. That's the shit.
Yeah, wolf's liver. Very specific.
I always have tons of that stuff, yeah.
I started out pretty much in awe of this game from the get-go. And I don't know if it's because I never really opened up Witcher 2, or so I'm kind of curious, like, how the game impacted you guys right at the beginning. Jordan, I don't know. You are more I don't know. Skeptical is the wrong word, but like I feel like it takes a little bit more to impress you than me.
Yeah, so I'm actually having trouble. My problem is I play
the
game.
Let's go back to your first 10 hours. Let's go.
That's the problem, is every play session's about 10 hours long.
Day one.
And so this is – I tried writing an article about this over the weekend, and I'm actually not kind of enjoying the game a little bit, because what will happen is when I come away from playing the game, I have played the game for so long that I start getting frustrated with the game. Because having come from Bloodborne, that's this is another huge strike against it. The Witcher's combat is so heavy and clunky compared to
Bloodborne.
Yeah, that's super fast paced. Because The Witcher, great. I got to fight 3 or 4 bandits, which means I need to stand and wait. I need to wait for someone to charge me so that I can hop out of the way and then attack him. Or I need to parry their attacks. So and then, oh good, this guy's got a shield. So now I gotta wait for this guy to attack.
No,
so I can
just throw some control is mine there.
Yeah, have you ever done Axie on those guys?
Yeah, I finally upgraded the fire, so he's shooting. He's doing the Jubilee spraying fire thing.
And then you just go nuts and.
So now I'm just doing that every time I have to fight guys. But
I love the dragon's breath, the
dragon's dance or something. It's like fire.
Yeah,
does a cloud that you can set on fire.
I've never used that.
That's really handy.
The description.
That's handy for a group of enemies. You just set them all on fire.
so maybe you're playing
the game wrong, Jordan.
Well, no, I totally am. I'm playing it too long. So the other thing that's been driving me nuts is you can't fast travel in the game. Like you can't anytime, anywhere.
Oh, yeah, not at any time. Yeah, that got me too.
I'm okay with that.
You have to go to a town, find the signpost, then you can travel to another signpost. So what happens is I'll be playing the game for like an hour or two, and then I'll be like, all right, I should do laundry. I should maybe go to work.
No.
I should probably talk to my family.
I think you're doing life wrong.
I'll play one more mission. And then 30 missions later, they're taking too damn long. Because I just want to do one more mission. But I just want to jump in here. I want to do this Witcher contract.
What a terrible game.
I want to find the monster. I want to kill it. I want to go back. But the problem is you can't just go and fight the monster. You got to go talk to somebody. And then,
There's a lot of stuff.
You got to walk through the woods, follow its tracks. So that's my problem is I'll have played the game. And at the 10-hour mark, I'm freaking tired of going. I'm tired that I can't fast travel.
I'm going to stop playing and do this again tomorrow.
Call the damn horse, but it takes like 2 or 3 seconds for it to run over to you. Screw this. I'll just run there. That'll be faster. So
I do that a lot, actually. I'll take off running and just keep whistling the entire way, hoping that it might respawn in a useful
point. Then he'll get in front of you.
He'll be running already alongside you, just hopping.
So the other thing that's happened is, when I'm driving somewhere I've never been before, I got my iPhone up, I got Google Apps out, and I'm just watching the little, green dot move on the road. And occasionally I'll look up to see if
it sounds safe.
Was that a red light? No. So you would
mall now.
Justin written this article a while back about a reason to upgrade, and The Witcher was a huge reason for you to upgrade your graphics card
because of that hair.
Oh yeah, it's that glorious gray with Geralt mane of his. Yeah.
That I accidentally shaved off, and then wondered if I'd wasted a bunch of money. Go ahead.
Money is a precious resource in that game. So
crowns.
You need to save state it before you waste money on haircuts. See if you like it or not. And I've been doing this. So I thought, well, my graphics card, I've had it for 2 years, but it'll be fine. The Dying Light, I had to turn down some of the settings on that one. It'll be fine. But then I started to think about it more, about not being able to experience the gorgeous open landscapes of The Witcher in not all its full, beautifully renderedness. Yeah. I started to think, well, Fry's Electronics isn't too far where I
can. Is this after you bought the game?
I've already downloaded the game, and I know it's going to unlock Tuesday night, and I'm sitting there in my apartment, eating dinner, like, I could just run to Fry's real quick and just, plop down $400 or $500 for a new graphics card. But I just did that for a PS4 so I could play Bloodborne. So gave my credit card a bit of a vacation. I thought, all right, it's fine. I'll just I'll boot the game up and I'll play with the settings. Luckily, I have an AMD graphics card. They have a gaming software you can download, and it'll check your settings and then check your games, and then it'll go ahead and set. So it
Do you have that too?
Yeah, I didn't either. Like that was I played the game for at least a day or two before it occurred to me that if Nvidia's got one, I bet AMD has one. And sure enough, so I downloaded that, ran it, and then it. So it said it noticed I had The Witcher and it optimized all the settings. And now, like, I've got details turned all the way up, but foliage rendering, I have that all turned all the way turned down.
But the blowing trees look so good.
So when you're riding on the horse, you can see bushes and stuff popping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I don't care. Like, I'm
sure.
I want to program video games. I know what is happening. Like, that is okay. Yeah. That is okay for me.
What is this magic?
But luckily, I can turn all the detail up. So during all the cutscenes, I can see everybody in their shining, wet glory when it's raining.
When it's raining all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. When it is always muddy. But yeah, so I got into this, like, oh, I gotta upgrade my graphics card, and then I don't even pay attention to the game. Like when I'm traveling from place to place, you know, roll those beautiful hills and the
sunsets and the weather effects.
And you can see all the cities in the background. Yeah, you can see landmarks. The towers off in the distance, and I'm staring up in the top right at the navigator.
I get so mad at that thing.
At the navigation in the corner, and I'm just staring at it. I'm watching the dot move.
I'm holding the button. Oh, just stay on the damn road, horse.
Stay on the road.
Watching all the little herbs you can pick, you know.
Yeah, there's a trickle in and out.
Thinking, oh, I better run back and pick that. I might need some more. I've only got 400 wolfsbane. I might need more than that.
You never know.
Yeah, so... So I've recently decided.
Uh-huh.
Stop staring at the damn map.
Turn it off.
Get Roach pointed in the right direction. Can you? I don't know. Play the game?
I think there's a mod to turn that off.
You could probably turn off some of the HUD.
I mean, but think about that. If you could turn that off, you just click back to the map when you want to. Like it is kind of like set a direction, or like I'll set a marker down and head towards that. Like
right, and so that's the what I was talking about earlier. The idea of playing the game for too long. I can't fast travel, and so when I get traveling from place to place, I just want to get there. And so if I didn't have that marker up, I wouldn't, you know, and I missed it and I overshot it. Oh, jeez, it's
gonna take playing this game for 10 hours. I got things to do.
That's the other thing is I'm gonna start playing the game in shorter because I'm also I'm starting, and this is the worst part about it is I'm starting to
get to the end of the game.
Fast forwarding through cutscenes, through the dialogue. That is the best part of The Witcher.
Like,
is just sitting back and letting the conversation play out. Yep. Hearing Geralt make fun of someone, hearing them make fun of Geralt back. Yeah. Him being ass.
Snarky remark.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like when he sighs.
So I do want to kind of give a, before we get to Aaron, the way they have handled the story. Even in the most innocuous of side quests, like, there is always something interesting about what's going on in these quests. And, like,
yes.
And there's always, I wouldn't call them twists, but they always go in a direction I don't expect.
They're not very predictable.
Right. That just also just adds to this dark fantasy world that is unlike anything I've played in a long time.
So, like, have you guys gotten to your first moment in the game where Geralt narrates all the decisions he's made up to a point? Have you seen that happen?
I don't think that's happened.
Only in the detective stuff, like where he's like investigating something.
Okay. So this has happened to me twice. So I'm a big fan of save stating. So I know I'm about to enter into.
I'm about to take a step forward. So I got to save it.
Dialogue. So I'm going to save it just so that I can see how the different conversation how that plays out. Because I know I'm going to walk up to somebody and I'm probably going to either be able to kill him or let him go or something like that. And I just want to see the options.
Yeah.
This game doesn't let you do that because you'll start a mission.
You don't know that you had an option.
Then that mission will go from one side mission to three, then it will end, and then it will reappear later as two more options after you've done a main side quest. So this has happened twice.
But you missed that third option because you killed that guy.
Okay, but that'll open up other options later. So I've had this happen twice now, where at the end of the all of a sudden it just I think, okay, well, this main side quest or whatever is done, and all of a sudden it cuts to a like a comic book style cutscene, and Geralt narrates that, like, sometimes you can never tell when you're making the right or wrong choice, and you just have to go, and then it just shows all these little vignettes of the choices that Whoa. The six choices you made that you didn't realize That's all cool. mattered, and then it oh, ends wow. and you're like, oh crap,
nice
and damn it, and then you realize, like, wait, what could I have done?
Yeah,
because I thought I did the right things, but did not end well for a lot of people. And I thought I made the right choices. So and this happened with The Witcher 2. The Witcher 2, there's the middle section of the game is completely you're on two different sides of a battle, depending on
which side you pick,
how you end the first mission, because it gives you a fork in the road, okay. and you can go with two different guys, and so you have to play the game twice, because the second and then the third.
Wow, I'm glad I didn't.
The last 60%
twice.
The last 60% of the game is completely different.
That's awesome.
based on who you chose at the end of the first one.
They're just CD Projekt Red just shows off, man. They're
doing the same thing with this one too, which is incredible for an open world game.
Yeah.
That I'm going to have to play it again. I might have to play it a third time.
So, you mentioned, like, trying to do the right thing. Like, one, I just really appreciate, like, sometimes I don't know I'm making choices. And it's like, you go back to your Renegade Paragon days and everything being black and white and every decision being, there's so much gray in the world of The Witcher that it's, that's a lot of its appeal for me. And then, even when I know I have a choice, and I think that I'm making the right choice or the good choice. The first time I did that early in the game, I was just trying to, like, right this wrong, and it spun out of control, and this dude gets killed. And I like I thought I was doing the right thing, and had I chosen the other direction, he probably would have got killed a different way. And it's just like, I don't know what the right, which way was right, and. From that point on, I was, like, hooked on the details. And
there was a tiny little, like, there's a side mission where you have to go and talk to a bunch of people. So I walk up to this woman, and there's all these bandits that are, and so I rush in, and I kill them all, and I chase them all off. And she goes, so they were protection. It was like a mafia thing. They were there to collect. Of course, I run in like the hero and I kill them all. And she goes, "What did you do? Like, now, they're gonna blame me for these. Like, the crime boss is gonna blame me for the guys that he sent to collect for me being murdered. I have to leave town." And so I was like, "Oh, because one of the options was just to pay him off." Like, you know, they came to
never. Collect.
She didn't have the money. She wanted more time. And that's when they were like, "Oh, we're going to break her legs. That'll teach her whatever." And of course, I run in like the two options.
Way to go, hero.
To pay. But that has happened. That has happened consecutively. Every time I try and butt in to save someone, I am not ever saving them. I was just walking by and I heard a bunch of guys giving this elf woman a rough time. And wasn't even a side quest or anything. I just saw it happening, and so I walked over to it, and I was suddenly in a cutscene. And of course, you know, being the heroic guy that I was, I told them to mind their own business and to step. I told them to step off. They were like, "Whoa, bro!" coming in like that. So they stepped off. All right, and that woman gave me a heart. She basically gave me the thanks for being a white knight speech, but I didn't need your help. And like, you're gonna walk away feeling like the hero, but these guys are just gonna come find me later. I was like, oh crap! And that was it. I didn't get an experience. I didn't get any gold from it.
The other thing with doing the right thing with Geralt as a Witcher is.
He doesn't care.
I haven't played the other games. I don't really know what Geralt is supposed to be. I do know that Witchers are supposed to be just, they don't care. Like, they stay out of conflict. They are morally ambiguous.
Yeah.
They are mercenaries. They are getting paid to do a job.
They're for hire.
But you have all these options that relate to Geralt giving a shit about things. So it's just like, what would Geralt do? Because I don't really, I know what I would do, but is that what this Witcher would do? Is Geralt like an exception to the Witchers? And but at the same time, I feel like I'm carving my own narrative, and that makes me enjoy the game more. So
yeah, and the game definitely lets you do that for sure. And then like it's funny because like I said, you think you're being the nice guy, like swooping in and saving people, and then the game kind of hits you with the idea of no, these people live in this world, and this world has a lot of hate for non-humans.
I want to come back to that, but I feel like we haven't let Aaron get his Witcher out. So happened?
Yeah. Launch your Witcher out, Aaron.
Yeah, oh, so, gross. Isn't there like a...
Give me a gander.
Is there a team to make sure that there are no Witchers just walking all over the place?
How's your beard been growing on it? Let me see.
Oh, I love that. I love the, such good beard technology.
I keep shaving beards. It. I keep shaving it, and then 4 or 5 cutscenes later being... Damn it, it's grown back.
I like it.
Oh, yeah, I shaved it. I didn't pay any attention. It was back, and I was like, oh, that's a fast looking beard.
Clean shaven. Well, he's a mutant. That's one of his superpowers, his facial hair.
So Witcher 3, Aaron, go.
Witcher 3. First of all, yeah, so glad you can just jump into this game and not have to go back and play through 2 because I don't even know if I can go back to 2 because I just really like 3 so much.
Yeah.
I get lost in it. I spent a lot of time in White Orchard before I'm like, is this really like a Hinterlands situation?
Is it time to go? Yeah.
Is it time to leave? There's still question marks, but I'm like, I need to move on. I want to see more. And I like everything that's just been said. I enjoy going to these missions and having people just like give you shit, give you a tough time for trying to be the nice guy to be the hero. But I don't really go into it thinking, you know, yeah, everyone says freak, and I'm like, maybe you're a freak. But
no, they're freaks.
Everyone's a freak. Mm-hmm. But I don't really approach these situations as, like, I need to be a hero. I need everyone to adore me. It's kind of like, I need experience, and I need money. And so if someone gives me a quest.
Oh, crap. Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of living out the actual Witcher dream. If someone gives me a quest, and the option is, I will proceed with helping you, or I have no time for this. I'm like, I need to help them because my shit keeps breaking.
I need that experience. I need
the money to pay the armorer, the blacksmith, and to buy their kits to keep repairing my stuff. There's like all these little things I keep micromanaging because I just like to play the game and like fight everything I see. And so I'm oftentimes seeing that my armor, my gear is deteriorating.
And they give you the option a lot at the end of a quest to be like, no, you guys need the money. You go ahead and keep it. I need that money.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Once did I do that?
For an open world game where I don't feel like I'm over leveling. I mean, I've picked up speed here lately, but and I have to constantly like, do I really want to sell this thing or dismantle it? Especially because dismantling costs money, and I don't have very much money. I feel like you have the right amount of money. It's not unfair, but I'm having to make a lot of decisions, and not just like.
I sometimes feel like I could craft a new sword, but I might be waste. I might if you just wait and level again, then I could craft a new sword for that level, or I might. I ran around
the
first 8 levels with a hatchet because I couldn't find a sword.
That hatchet looked pretty badass, though.
Poor Witcher.
That had more damage than the hatchet that I found,
I like that hatchet. I haven't got to use the mace. I thought I was going to get to do that for that reason, but that hatchet looked good, and that felt satisfying.
I haven't used any of those weapons. I sell all that stuff. I dismantled them the first time when I had a good chunk of money. I just spent a lot of my time trying to just steal everyone's stuff, kill all the people that assault me so I can get their stuff, so I can just make money and craft cool gear.
But the NPCs have limited amounts of gold.
Yeah,
so you have to go from town to town selling off your crap. And not all the merchants will buy all your crap.
Yep.
Yeah, it depends on who they are and what they actually take from you.
Drives me nuts, yeah. So you have to go to like 3 or 4 different towns just to sell all the crap because you're overburdened.
The one that really got me was, what do you mean there's a difference between an armor smith and a blacksmith? It was
I was like,
why can't you make my weapons too?
People?
Yeah.
Why can't I just craft these myself? Why do I have to go? I finally found one town with everybody in it that I need.
So yeah, I'm really.
I want to just live there.
I do.
On games where you have to like collect ingredients to build things or, you know, potions or whatever, I'm really big on just, okay, then I will get as many ingredients as I possibly can of every type, and I will dismantle everything into ingredients. I will never sell anything. But that fact that it costs money to dismantle stuff has forced me to, like, I just basically, if I have more than 10 of something, I sell all of it. And then when I look at, like, what are you going to break it down to? Oh, you're breaking it down to the stuff I already have. So I'm selling this stuff. So I've gotten more comfortable with just, like, selling all the used weapon and armor unless I'm trying to build something specific. Because usually I have enough.
Same here.
Or I have to buy one or two ingredients and it hasn't been a big deal. So that was kind of freeing. Yeah. But, man, because I kept – the other side of that was I kept weighing myself down because you've got the weight limit. And until I got the extra saddlebags, like, it was – that was the most stressful thing about the first few hours of Witcher was that the 100 percenter in me wanted to have all this stuff in case I would ever need it. But then I also realized you'd really, like, with a lot of, like, the spells, I mean, the potions and the armor, you're really just building one thing and you kind of know what specifically to go after. And
I carried multiple weapons around there for a while. Because
I started that way too.
Because I got tired of, like Aaron was saying, of your stuff wearing down. Because you just want to clear the map. So, you know, you start up north and you just want to go around and clear off all the question marks. Well, you can't. After about the fourth or fifth one, you got to go back to town somewhere. And
I guess I've been going back to town a lot and repairing. Because I just in my last session at level 11, I had my first instance where my sword got under 50%. Like it was threatening to break. But before that, I hadn't even seen those icons. So
I see them all the time.
I don't know what I'm doing there.
Stingy.
So I
beat things until it breaks.
I have a voice of hope for you guys. I am at a point in the game where I have more money than I need. So, and I don't pick flowers. I don't pick ingredients. I now wait until I need to make something. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay. I can now upgrade one of my potions. I can upgrade one of my bombs. What four things do I need?
Yeah, that's how I'm doing it now.
I'm gonna go to the herbalist. Yep, he's got what I need. Oh, by the way, pro tip: all the taverns buy the liquors. The wines.
To get drunk or why?
No, because you need one specific type of liquor to make nearly every type of your alchemy stuff.
I can't remember what potions?
But you'll get to that point where you'll be like,
is it the blue, green, the dwarven stuff? The dwarven? No, you're talking about wine.
No,
I haven't run into an alcohol problem. Like, I have plenty of alcohol.
Cordial wine or something like that. But you can only ever buy one. Every tavern I go to, they always have one for sale, and they have one of each. And so I finally got to the point where because I don't have a diagram to make it. I don't know if you can. So, but I need it every time I need to upgrade something through alchemy. I have to have one of these so I can build one of the components so that I can build it, because I've never found anyone who sells the components of it.
Keep this moving, but I want to hit up two more points. First up, I want to get to the monster hunting last, but we kind of talked about, like, the world itself, like
bandits and whores,
and we're joking about, like, the weather effects and how great all that stuff looks, but how lived in the world feels really engaging, especially from the aspect of the Witchers being. Like I said, they're not picking a side in this war that's going on. They're just in the middle. They're taking jobs. They don't care about these people. They're not causing harm. But to see all these people actually invested in the war and being affected by everything that's going on and the decisions you make and being kind of – but also removed from it, you kind of, like, pick and choose what you want to care about. But, like, I don't know. It's just you come across people. I think it was the first time actually where I cleared out an abandoned site and people came to live there. That I was just like, man, I'm affecting things, but I don't give a shit. But these people, like, their lives suck. This world is terrible.
Oh man, I feel so bad for people's. Every now and again, I'll go into a town and it'll be abandoned. I'll start going in the buildings, and then you'll just see all the people, like, dead in their beds, like with their kids. And it's like, oh my gosh, I hate this world.
But do you have something I can lose? Because
everywhere.
Because shit, that was also the really freeing thing. Coming from Skyrim, where, you know, you're you know, have to kind of pay attention when you don't want to be caught stealing stuff. But Witcher, it's like, basically, unless it's like red and saying you're going to take
the game, it, will tell. Yeah, right. The game will warn
just
you.
Just take everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how poor this family is. Just go in their house. Don't just ignore them. Just take all their stuff.
Don't mind me. I'm just going. I'm going through all your cupboards and cabinets.
There's something old school.
Haggle your pay up and then steal their stuff.
I will take all your broken rakes all day.
I find some of the best crafting equipment, like the diamond and ruby dust, in just like peasants' houses.
Yep. The guy's house.
Yeah. Well, so you lose. You loot it. You lose everything.
When I was having like my food and drink shortage at the beginning of the game, then I started stocking up on water by taking it from everybody's places. Like, all of a sudden, I have more water than I could ever need after I just dropped a bunch of crowns on it.
I've got about 200 water on me right now.
That's
by the way, one stack of an item is 100.
Okay.
So I'm working through my second stack of water right now.
And so that would be a pound or like one weight.
Yeah. Okay. Also, whenever you hover over a stack of items, it tells you the collective weight, not the individual item weight.
Yeah.
That's what I hoped.
That worried me because I'd seen, like, you know, the water weighs one unit or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I got 100 units of water. Wait a minute. No, I don't.
That makes no sense.
All right. You're talking about the world being lived in. So the question marks, one of the ways that they appear on your map is by going to notice boards and just clicking on every notice. The other way that they appear is you overhearing conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed people talking.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, when you're walking around and you hear one guy going, hey, Witcher, yeah, there's some elves staked out at that bandit. Hey, a Witcher. Hey,
Witcher.
Hey, Witcher. Witcher. Hey, check it out. Where are you going?
I woke up a dog.
Yeah.
are we done yelling Witcher?
I knew
the notices were adding question marks. I didn't realize conversations would. That's cool.
I think so. I think that's happened a couple of times.
I believe it. Are either of you playing Gwent?
Oh, you have to.
Oh,
you have to? I played it twice, and I've refused to play it since. So,
I was like, this isn't Hearthstone.
I almost forgot about Gwent. Okay. Just buckle down. This is the other reason. Go to a tavern, buy all the more expensive singular wines, and buy the cards. Just go ahead and buy them.
Yeah, I've been buying cards.
You're never gonna make any money playing Gwent.
Gotta spend real money.
But you will finally get to a point where you have enough powerful, unique cards that you can start kicking people's asses.
I've just been reluctant to.
I hate Gwent. It makes me so nervous because it'll be like, he'll have won one, I'll have won one. It's, you know, the next person that wins this round, and he's got three cards left. I've only got two, and I can't really do anything with my two, and I don't know what two cards he's got. And I'm starting.
I didn't
to
understand how to play this game the first time they make you play it. I'm so used to Hearthstone. You draw a new card. So the first round, I played like six or seven cards, and I'm like, okay, I've got this. I'll pass.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, he's got a bunch of cards. I didn't draw anything new. And then he gave me the second round. I'm like, I think he did that like bad manners because he knows I'm about to lose.
So I've got a pretty good deck right now that I've worked pretty hard to acquire.
I just don't want to build a deck either.
I've got enough rares that.
But I do want to beat the Baron in cards.
I would never play a collectible card game in real life. I would never play Hearthstone. But
I like that you've been sucked into it. That's really funny.
Yeah,
I don't like it. I don't like playing it. But there are a ton of side quests.
Well, there's side quests, right?
Yeah, they are that.
Play Gwent, or you'll be in the middle of a side quest and you'll be stuck in like a. There'll be a party going on, and you'll be walking around the party and you'll be like, oh, there's some guys playing Gwent, so it's a side thing, and I can probably only get Gwent cards here now.
Oh shit!
So I had better go ahead and play.
I'll just do a Gwent centric playthrough down the line. Ignore everything else. Play Gwent.
I think you should hire the
Chocolate Rain guy to play Gwent online for you.
Tayson Day to play Gwent if you can.
Gwent's rough, guys, but like I said, just. Stick with it. You play it enough, and you'll have enough unique rare cards and enough like powerful cards. But
all right, so all of this stuff fills the world and makes it pretty fucking amazing, like all these little details. But I came here just to hunt monsters, just to see what monsters in this world, why they exist, their quirks, and you go back to the battle system, I kind of like the deliberate battle system when it comes to those fights. I agree. Yeah. Like when you're clearing out bandits and wolves, yeah, it's kind of annoying that you got to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it pays off when you're like one on one with some new creature that you barely understand. That's like a, yeah, I don't know, that most of these things, they're familiar terms or familiar ideas of monsters from other fantasy games, but just to see their take on it, like,
yeah.
So I'm always excited to like do the next monster contract and see the next thing.
And they give you a chance. Like you'll be out just riding around on a horse, you'll come across a guarded treasure, and you'll be like, okay, I'm about to fight something.
Yeah.
So before you get to it, you just take a peek. Okay, well, it's a big winged beast. Uh-huh. All right, well, I need to put a blade oil on my weapon. But mm-hmm. Which one do I need? Because during combat,
yes,
you can't do it during combat. Yeah. So you need to do it before combat, which, of course, if you just save the game, run into combat, check out what it is.
Oh, shut up. I wish I had thought about that.
And just reload your save. Then you.
No, I like that whole... Like, because besides that, there's some of these contracts, like, literally have detective work leading up to them. Very, very bad senses. Like, follow it, like, get more clues just to try to figure out what it might be, and then if you have the stuff. Because I got to one and realized, we've identified what it is, but I don't have that potion yet. So I diverted and went back to go make the oil for that thing, because I hadn't fought one of those yet. And it was, and then I had my fight, and I forgot to put the oil on. But, it was like, it's just the buildup for that stuff is
where that really comes into play is when you come up to a creature and it says, you know, you're level 10 and it's level 18 it's got the little red skull next to it. It's like, I don't care. I want what's in that treasure.
Oh, shit.
Then you enter into a 20-30 minute battle with something.
Oh shit. Yeah, I've run away. I was like literally coming around a corner. Yeah, and this thing was 10 levels above me, and I was like, oh, I'm going the other way.
And that might be the having just come away from Bloodborne part of it. every one of these, all these enemy types have a different they have a different routine of attacks. They all have tells. Okay, I'm about to fight a griffin. Mm-hmm. So what's his move set? You know, so like what are the oils? What's the potions that I need to take to fight it? What are the bombs that I can use?
Where's my NPC buddy?
When do I need to jump out of the way? How many times can I hit it before I need to roll back? Because I know it's going to attack and it's going to attack. It's coming in from the left, so it's going to do a two attack. So I need to get out of there.
One-two punch.
Okay,
you can fight things that are way over level, things that are
successfully
one hit they would kill you. Luckily that's why you've got Quain, so you can equip it, and that'll at least
I think you've pronounced a fortify.
I don't care. I've never heard it pronounced. So that'll take a hit where you could die, and then you just back up, wait for it to recharge and deploy it again.
I don't have balls like that.
A fight will take 20 or 30 minutes. I just don't like the idea of like, well, I might have to come back later. I'm not going to remember.
Then you've got the guarded treasure marker on your map, and it's white. It's not grayed out, so I know that I need to come back there.
That actually, I just realized that a few days ago, that it's slightly not as white. As if you've not completed it. Yeah, I just noticed that. I just noticed I got a bunch of bright whites on the map that I need to go back and take care of.
What do you think of the monsters there, Aaron?
I am like you in that I run away if they're too overpowered. I'm like, tactical no time retreat. For this. Yeah, tactical retreat, serpentine, run away.
Serpentine.
And I haven't really fought a whole bunch of big creatures yet. I mean, I did the opening one. You know, you fight yourself a griffin. But everything else I've kind of run into has been like your bandits, your typical wolves and stuff. I've gotten to a very confident behavior pattern of I'm probably going to kill everything that I encounter unless I don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But
or stumble in the wrong area.
I've got a few Witcher contracts set up where they want me to go find swamp things and this and that. Uh-huh. They got some funny names for these quests. I was like, swamp thing.
Well,
but I haven't done them yet because I'm so caught up in doing other things that by the time I am at that point of indecision, I need to do something else.
I just tend to go down the list in order. So I'm like, close all the mains. I don't want to do mains yet. And I hit secondary, and then I pick something from there before I even think about fighting monsters.
I think I started going back to the monster contracts about level 7 or 8, and then because the story quests will carry you, they're kind of around a level 6. They're marked at that range, and so I was focused on that, and just and using that as an excuse to open up the map, like to go different places. But the other thing that got me was like, you know what? I kind of want some more of these monster trophies. I want that giant head hanging off my horse. So
I need to get it back into them. But I have some quests on my queue, my backlog, that's suggested levels like 27, 28. And I'm like, when the hell am I going to do this?
I've got some stuff. I've got some stuff up in the 30s right now. And I'm like, well, I could try it.
See you in 60 hours.
It's pretty dark.
I tried fighting something the other day, and the game didn't tell me the level. It just showed me 2 question marks. And so I was like, well, whatever, I'll fight it anyway. I'm pretty sure I was hitting it, but its health never
went.
And I was like, you know what? I'm getting the hell out of here. I think I'm going to be here for a couple of hours if I try and fight this thing.
So I was actually considering playing Witcher 2 on easy just to get through it as quickly as I could, just to see the stuff.
Yeah.
And then I started out, I think there's 4 difficulty levels in Witcher 3, and I started out the recommended level, the second one. About halfway through White Orchard, I was reading some stuff, and I bumped it up to the third difficulty, which...
Oh, no, I went to the third, yeah.
Yeah, which has been really fun. Like,
it's been fun.
I haven't purposely played a game, one of the higher difficulties in a while, because I usually try to burn through these things, but this is something I just want to enjoy, and the thing that it takes away is when you meditate, you don't heal. So that kind of
I don't even use that. I have enough food. I'm just always eating, and
I have to eat during.
I've got the health regeneration perk on, so if I'm just running from place to place, my health will just refill anyway during the day.
But I was abusing the meditation at the beginning of the game, and
really,
it kind of taking that crutch away. And I was like, if I do this now, it's going to hurt for like a level, but then I'm going to get used to it, and I think I've started to have more fun because of it.
So I never use meditation. So okay. Here's the thing everyone should know about The Witcher 3. When you use a bomb, meditate to refill those potions.
Yeah.
So the only reason to meditate in The Witcher 2, I feel like, was to kill time.
Yeah.
So I never needed to kill time in The Witcher 3, so I've not done it. Mm. I was real far along in the game, like, why don't I have any damn bombs? Every time I try and go and craft them, it tells me I already have them. So finally, I just had to get online, you know, and find the FAQ facts thing or whatever. And someone was like, all the answers were meditate. And I was like, no one's answering the damn question. How do I craft more bombs?
Just calm down.
Just deep breaths.
Geralt just needs to take a minute. He just needs to take a minute.
Yeah.
He just needs to sit down on his ass. Yeah.
All right. Does anybody have anything else to say about Witcher? I'm sure we will come back to it in a future episode. But
so near the end of the game, they give you the choice they have to make between Yennefer and Ciri, Dandelion and Zoltan. And you choose yourself.
Always Dandelion.
You choose the dog.
The dog.
I still hate you. Aaron. Let's hit up our new console choices, and then we'll move on to shoutouts. But I wanted to call out, like, so in the middle of like loading Witcher and playing Witcher, like I think like what it came out on a Tuesday. I didn't end up playing until Thursday. Friday, I decide I spent way too much time not playing Witcher and fiddling around with. My new 3DS, the official name.
New 3DS.
That for whatever reason, I decided to buy one to get Puzzle and Dragons Super Mario Brothers Edition, because that came out. I was like, it's not like I need it to run it, but the problem was like, I was near a Best Buy, and I was like, I just want the new 3DS. And so then...
How is that new 3DS? How do you like the feel of it? Is it any different?
Before we get there, I hated it at first because I tried to do the system transfer stuff, and I was looking up, like, I'd heard people had problems with them, and it takes forever to do a wireless transfer between your old 3DS and the new one.
It takes a while.
But then I found, like, the quickest way is to just, like, use the memory cards. So I've got I have a big SD card that's in my 3DS. And the new 3DS uses a micro SD card, which, of course, I don't discover till, like, I've started the process and opened the thing up, and I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't have micro SD cards, and the one that this one has is not as big as my custom SD card that I bought for the other one. So I had to basically, this was like 11, 12 o'clock. I've been playing with this thing for like an hour and a half trying to get this going so I could, I wanted the transfer to occur so I could go play The Witcher. And long story short, it took me all night and I was too tired to play The Witcher and I got a big ass micro SD card in the morning. But so the transfer process wasn't fun. But once I got it in there, yeah, it's a nice little machine. It's the updated like eye tracking for the 3D effects works really well.
Yeah,
like I always had a problem with 3D on the 3DS because my hands aren't completely still when I'm playing. Like when I hit buttons, I naturally just kind of jostle.
Yeah, there's a little bit of
and I'll throw it off. But it compensates for that. So I would say that's pretty cool. I still don't really use the 3D all that much, but I don't mind having it on either at this point. So that was a pain in the ass. I'm glad I'm glad I upgraded, but I haven't paid attention to my 3DS in a while. But regardless of what system you have, Puzzle and Dragons Super Mario Bros. Edition is pretty fucking awesome. It's
so that's two games in one cartridge.
Yes.
Of the same kind of
game. It's the exact same game, just with Mario Brothers skin. Like you play through the tutorials. I played through the tutorials of both, and like, yeah, the story beats are different, but it's like you're going through the exact same motions. It's just like they're Mario creatures and not dragons. And
so you're playing the Mario one, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because
of course, why not?
So the big hooks with it are it's a match three game, but you. Basically, when you're dragging around whatever item you've selected to make your matches, you are moving everything else around it, and you've got a timer, so you can basically set up a bunch of combos as you're dragging this thing around, because, like, say you move to the right, that icon will then shift to the left, so wherever you're moving from, the other one will move back, so you got to try to, you kind of, like, just snake it around until you can match up a bunch of combos, and the more combos you have,
that kind of blew my mind the first time I saw it. I watched the Giant Bomb quick look of it, because I thought it was just your average match three thing, and then I think Dan goes to show like a really good combo he could set up, and he's just going so fast, and all the gems and stuff are swapping around. I was like, what the hell just happened? Don't you just swap places?
Yeah.
And it was wild.
It's weird. I mean, there's never any rush. It doesn't ever put a timer on you to make a move. But once you've clicked on one, the timer starts. So it's like just playing it out. But I kept fucking up because I would like go a little too fast and I would drag my stylus like off the touchscreen a little bit and it would just stop and then it would I wouldn't get to do my move. So the first time I died was because I did that a bunch of times in a row. But it's really fun to set up those combos and just annihilate enemies. And then the game
watching those numbers multiply and count up
numbers colors
you feel like
pretty satisfying.
Yeah. And then and so you're playing through and you're constantly collecting new enemies that become your allies and you're building teams so all these creatures have one of five kind of elemental affinities. Some of them have two, like you can have a light guy and a wood guy, and so and wood beats water, water beats fire, fire beats wood, those types of relationships. So you just build teams based on what enemies are going to be present in this stage, because you have six or seven fights on the way to a boss. And then the difficulty, like level world one is cake, and world two it starts to ramp up by the end, and world three
cake on the cake one.
Cake world.
Is that a type? Is that fire, ice, cake?
It's one of the five types is cake.
Cake beats everything, man.
Cake always wins.
Puzzle and Dragons Cooking Mama.
Cooking Mama.
But as like, this was like a huge game in Japan. I had actually tried playing it when it showed up on iOS, and there was something really simplistic about it that I didn't like. And I don't even remember if it had the same type of match three functionality.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
But this shiny new Nintendo package of this super popular game, I dig it. It's the team building's addicting, and like I said, and then just pulling off those combos and destroying Mario characters. I like it a lot. It's big. It is my palate cleanser from my 10-hour sessions of Witcher 2. So. Cool.
So is it being Mario Brothers? Is that kind of the deal sinker for you?
I think I don't really like the way they're doing the puzzle story. It's like it's almost got like a it's like cyberpunk Pokemon dragon stuff that I don't dig the, like, it's high school kids collecting dragons and doing battle with them, and it just I don't like the setting of it. But it would be fine. The gameplay would be fine.
Japanese, okay.
Like, how many times you guys say Jap?
Sounds like 100 different animes that I've watched. All right. I wonder if that's not like you know, Nintendo's business strategy from now on. Just take an existing game, take Solitaire, and then add on your
Mario.
King is Mario, the queen is Princess.
Well, we'll see what their mobile strategy pans
now,
out. But
now I can't stop playing Solitaire on my phone. Mario Solitaire.
The funny thing is with this, I forgot how much money it was. I want to say $20 or $30. But knowing that it's a free to play game, like on the phone, on mobile, on phones, and wondering where all those microtransactions are, like just the fact that doesn't exist in this game, but you can totally see where it could come into play. But
Puzzle and Dragons on the phone,
yes, yeah, 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 it was the shit. It's like I think all they play in Japan is Monster Hunter and Puzzle and Dragons. I think that then beyond that there's nothing.
Yeah, it had a huge fad. It might still be going. It likely is.
Based on what the internet has told me, people in Japan play nothing but those two games.
All right, so I don't necessarily say go out and buy a new 3DS for Puzzle and Dragons, but you should play Puzzle and Dragons. So
me? Who are you talking to?
Jordan specifically.
Yes.
Okay. Don't tell me what to do. I'm checking it. I got on my phone right now. Looking it up.
Doing GPS.
Because when you said high school kids training and catching monsters, I was like, hell yeah, that's my jam right there.
Sure.
High school puzzles, kids.
Puzzles and Dragons. Ooh, English. Okay.
Aaron?
I was hoping for the Japanese version.
I think you made the wiser purchasing decision than me, so let's talk about your next
one. I woke up one morning, decided I had a lot of games I wasn't playing, threw them in a bag, took them to GameStop, and traded them in for a Last of Us PS4 bundle with a pre-owned copy of Bloodborne.
What a jerk. And then sells that back?
Yeah. I don't know. Someone got rid of it. It just wasn't for them, or they finished it. Maybe they were really good at the game.
Bloodborne. I thought it said basketball.
They know all the endings. They have all the endings.
There is no finishing Bloodborne. There's always
more PvP. It doesn't feel that way.
There's going to be more Bloodborne.
How do you feel
about your purchase?
Chalice Dungeons.
Yeah.
What was that, Justin?
How do you feel about your purchase?
I love it so far. Like, back when we were in the E3 times and the PS4 hadn't come out and we were singing the praises of Papa Jack T and his upcoming system.
Pour one out.
I had it pre-ordered.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot you had the
We all, like, pre-ordered it.
We all pre-ordered it at E3.
Yeah, we all had it pre-ordered, and I backed out. And I was like, I don't know anymore. But I think I'm glad I waited, but I'm also glad that I have it now because it's just a very fluid system. I'm glad I can play Bloodborne on it. It's just a lot of fun. I was toying around with like simple things like recording gameplay.
Oh, the
shit. It's been kind of fun just kind of watching the last 15 minutes of me struggling on a Bloodborne boss. And then I was like, can I put the microphone up and actually talk on this? So I might play around with trying to cut highlights and get them online of me doing stupid stuff in my PlayStation 4 games.
Hey, if you can get them up to your YouTube channel, I can pull them down and put them on ours.
That's what I thought. So I'm going to see about doing some of that. So far, it hasn't been very interesting. It's a lot of me cursing and slowly walking through Bloodborne. Every now and then, hearing Jordan's voice being like, take it easy, man. Just walk through. Just slow down.
This game's easy.
Just walk with a little swagger. Yeah,
just swagger your way.
Remember to save your current save file up to the cloud in case if you mess up, you can always
In case I mess up, I got a save state back down. But I've only once have I walked into an area, I've become very aware of this area looks like a boss might happen in it. So I will run back to the Hunter's Dream, level up, buy some stuff, whatever, and then navigate my way back to that area. And sure enough, boss fight tends to happen there. And only once have I gotten through a boss fight without dying at all. And I was very proud of that.
Only once?
Only once. I'm not that far. But the last time I played, I stumbled into an area, and I'm like, I really the allure that a lamp might be nearby and I can make a new checkpoint keeps me going, and I kept going too far and stumbled into a boss fight. And I'm like, oh, it's three guys.
So, you know, they're not going to be as strong as if it's just one big guy, and then I got wrecked by the environment. I was backing up. I'm trying to heal. I backed up into a corner, and I'm like, I can't roll backwards anymore.
Two guys rushing, one guy's lobbing fire at you.
Yeah, fire is being thrown. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I just got torn apart, and I was like, well, I think I'm going to go play Witcher now.
That area of the game, that you have to take it so slow, and by the time you get to that where the boss is, it's a boss fight. I'm going to walk through those arches, and it's going to be a big boss fight. But I don't know how to get back. I don't know where I am right now. I want to go back, and so I can bank all the blood things that I've gotten. But I don't know if I can make it back. I might as well just push forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of these decisions like that, and I constantly find myself happy that the game has no map. I feel like it encourages the exploration and memorization. Yeah. But then sometimes I get into an area, I clear it all out, and I'm like, how the hell did I get here?
I never thought about that before, but yeah.
I'm like, I wish I could just look at a map. Like, don't give me, you know, the Witcher 3 HUD map. Just give me like a literal I need just grid the map, paper.
Not a markers.
Yeah, no marker. Yeah. I can figure it out by the environment, the way everything's shaped, but just give me a general map of where I am based on how I've walked around this so I can get back and not stumble into some stupid area where a bundle of snakes is going to try to murder me.
So I kind of want to mark this down, like, because I've definitely taken a break from Bloodborne because of The Witcher. I fully intend to come back to it when the DLC comes out, but like every Souls game, this is what happens. Although this is the Souls game I've gotten the farthest in, because it's a Blood game and not a Souls game. I finally felt really comfortable in the world and was making a lot of progress, and I really hope I go back because I really love that game. But there's also just a kind of build yourself up to, I'm gonna play some Bloodborne. I'm gonna get back into this. I'm gonna get beat up for a little bit. Yeah. So I'm probably gonna start back over because I feel like I've got that opening area kind of figured out at this point. So that'll kind of
you're not far. Yeah, you're not that
no,
far.
No, I'm not that far. Yeah. I'm not far enough for that to make a huge difference. So it'll kind of train me back up, and then hopefully I can run with it from there. But I really hope I go back to it. But there's no way I can balance both those games. Like, they're both just. They both take a lot out of me, and the
combat is too similar and way too different for you to be able to jump between.
It would actually screw me up, like the way the button layouts.
I'll be playing The Witcher and I'll hit the trigger buttons all the time, and that's usually like.
I'll
end up drinking a potion accidentally because
With Bloodborne, I either like burn through potions, or I do that thing where he like sacrifices a little bit of his blood to be powered up. So I have
the inverse problem. I can play through The Witcher 3. I have an Xbox controller I'm using for The Witcher 3. I'm fine. But then I jump back into Bloodborne, and then for some reason completely forget what my controls are. And then, I sacrifice life for ammo or accidentally use a potion. So I bet a lot of my recording, if I did record myself playing, would just be me saying, didn't mean to press that button right just now.
You said Xbox controller. That just reminded me, the reason I went into Best Buy, when I ended up buying the new 3DS, was because I wanted to get an Xbox One controller for my PC. Because it was like,
that works now.
Yeah, because the more you go back and forth between the next-gen consoles and the 360 controller, like, the 360 controller just feels like a piece of plastic crap now. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go get my Xbox One controller. And I went in there and I was like, okay, I need to buy the Xbox One controller with the plug and play, like a USB adapter. That's the easiest way to make this work with a PC. Because I wasn't gonna go through the PS4 stuff. I just don't trust the drivers. But so that's why I was in there, and that's why I was like, oh, I should just buy a new 3DS while I'm here. But so I had the controller and the plug and play like combo pack ready to go, which is like $70. And I'm just like, okay. And then I realized, wait a minute, they sell the plug and play thing separately, and I have a Xbox One controller. So luckily I caught that before I made that mistake. So,
okay, that's good.
Yeah, it was like a $20 purchase.
You're playing Witcher on PC, right? Are you using the 360 controller?
The Xbox One.
I'm 360. Yeah.
Okay. Does it disconnect at inopportune times? by any chance? Because it might just be
I'm wired. Mine has though. Are you wired?
I'm wired.
No, mine's wired, but I have it wired through a USB hub.
Yeah.
And that thing's not super reliable to begin with. Okay, it happens enough that
that'd be annoying. That would suck.
I've been fine.
Might just need to go get an Xbox
One. Oh God, save state.
Get a new computer.
Yeah,
Jordan's
nightmare of having to go 10 seconds back.
It's happened during one of my 20-minute huge monster battles where all of a sudden the attack button doesn't work.
I pay money
doesn't
to work see anymore. That.
Every other button works fine. And then it's just me rolling and, you know.
I'd pay money to see Jordan enter into a 30-minute boss fight and lose at minute 27.
Because of the controller.
I would quit playing The Witcher.
Maybe I shouldn't fight that guy that's twice my level. But
I would quit playing video games. Shit,
yeah, I rounded some corner and, oh, sweet, guarded treasure. And it was the first time, like, up to that point, all the guarded treasures have been just, like, mobs. They've just been, like, a lot of mobs. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll go kill some more drowners. I got this. And then, it's big dude with red skull. And I'm like, I'm going to go the other way.
Roach?
I just said, of course, your horse is running off. Yeah. I assume the game was leveled to you. Don't play that way.
Big boys hanging out.
All right, let's get out of here. With some game industry shout outs. What has had your attention? What's actually going on in gaming for you, Jordan?
The All Witcher. Right.
Yeah.
I just saw an article today. It was kind of funny. So you keep seeing the new Lego game that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Lego World.
And that's pretty cool and all. But so somehow it cropped up an old one of the old developers from the original Lego MMO, the Lego Universe.
How long did that last? Talking about
maybe a year or two.
I was in the beta for that at one point. Anyway, sorry.
The game was aimed at kids, so it's funny. We played with Legos when we were kids. Yeah. Why not?
I played with Legos yesterday. What are you talking about?
And they were just pulling in snippets from the tweets, and it was all about how one of the biggest financial burdens on that original Lego game was keeping penises out of it, because you have a Lego branded video game for children. It's being marketed for children by Lego. And so, being family friendly, they did not ever want there to be an instance where a kid would log in, join someone's world, and see penises. And so it sounded like they actually hired people before, because you can make your own world and then you would open it up for to access it. From the way it was written, it sounded like
you build things
in a Lego game.
Other Lego games, like, you just hold a button and it constructs something for you.
This one had crafting in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, what does any young adult do when he first realizes he's able to build something?
I can
build
a penis.
He erects a monument to man.
Well put.
To mankind. Yeah. So, but it sounded like they actually hired people, and their job was
the penis police.
Penis police. So you can imagine the amount of money that would go into that. And so I don't know. I don't know how much the game they're working on, because the
cock cops.
The beta right now for the Lego World is a single player.
Jesus, so, it's the cockers.
So it's interesting.
What dick joke?
So that I have yet, as a web developer, I've yet to build like an online community or some like social sharing thing. But I know that if I do, there'll be that moment where it's like, all right, people are creating usernames. Jeez. Mojang actually did this not too long ago. They don't really police usernames. You can make your Minecraft profile name whatever you want. It's up to the guy running that server.
The server, yeah.
But someone's username was Mojang Sucks Cock, I think.
It was that.
And no, one of the developers actually changed it to No We Don't. When the kid opened up Minecraft, his username got changed. No, we don't.
I thought they moved his person into a very precarious, you know, bad place to get out of. I thought that's surrounded with like lava and he couldn't get out. I heard something like that.
They just changed his name. Yeah.
Yeah, I had anxiety over a work project the other week because we started diving into the world of profanity filters, and
I assume there's an API out there, and you just pay a monthly fee for it, and then you just filter. You pass usernames through it because, good gosh,
a Lego dick filter.
I don't like
it. Speaking of dicks, I don't know.
Hey, Aaron. Justin.
Oh, that's one of those.
Actually, I don't have a way to tie that in. So that Mad Max movie's awesome. You should go see it. And there's also still a Mad Max game coming out, and the good news is it's by the Just Cause guys. That's really exciting. They seem to be
Avalanche.
Yeah, not the Disney Infinity Avalanche, but the Just Cause Avalanche. So on paper, it sounds like a really good fit, and they're getting closer. I think the game comes out a little bit later this year, probably around the DVD Blu-ray release or whatever of the movie. The game isn't necessarily tied to the movie, but like when you think of a big car combat game and with a Just Cause engine and some tech behind it, sounds like a good chaotic time. The previews have not been friendly to this, so I'm kind of giving a shout out just that I still have hopes for this game. Apparently right now it's basically like kind of a janky open world Twisted Metal, and then you get out of the car a lot and do Batman combat. And
I want to be able to accessorize my vehicle by by capturing people and then tying them to the hood of the car.
Yeah. And drawing penises all over.
I do know car customization is a big deal, but I have not seen like being able to accessorize with like human parts. But
heads galore.
I just got me thinking just how, you know, the most recent Twisted Metal release, and just I was also watching on Giant Bomb, they're playing the new Carmageddon. It's just like car combat, like that time may have came and went. So I'm curious to see how this game ends up playing.
A car game with cavemen and dinosaurs. See, that's what people have been missing.
Oblivious dinosaurs.
That's the hook.
Yep.
Yep.
So I really hope that game's good. It's almost done a disservice because the movie was so good. Like, if the movie had been average, like, the game could have been average and been fine, but now almost it's like, I hope this game's not a disappointment, like, and drags down, like, the resurrection of Mad Max.
Is that you like the movie and you like the world of Mad Max and you're afraid of game, or is it because it's the Just Cause guys and you want them to keep cranking out?
Well, that's the other weird thing is, like, Just Cause 3 is probably going to come out before this, and like, I'm curious how their team was split and like which one's the A team and which one's the B team, because like, don't rush Mad Max, like, give us a great Mad Max video game too. And but it just so far the previews have raised more questions than excitement. So
there's a Mad Max mod for Battlefield 1942. Just grab it. Just grab it.
1942.
Just go play Rage and pretend you're playing Borderlands and something. So hopefully they have some surprises left and that game's worth playing. But anyway, there's probably something a little bit more concrete to be helpful for, Aaron.
Speaking of dicks, so
every transition.
Yeah, every transition has got to be that now. A mysterious Fallout countdown has appeared on the internet at Fallout. That's soft. We are going to die. It's 24 hours. It showed up a while ago, but E3 is on its way.
So it'll actually be unveiled before this podcast goes up.
Most likely, yes. And so we're going to find out very soon, or if you're listening to this podcast, you've already found out.
Yeah.
What this Fallout countdown is, and everyone's assuming or hoping, we have we have reason to believe it's 4. It's got to be 4.
So we're all in consensus there. I don't think much of the internet has doubt. It's Fallout 4, but the follow-up questions are, do you think it'll come out this year?
I want to say no.
I'm in the no camp. I believe
it's been a while, but I still want to say no.
Just based on their history, I don't think you don't I feel like they make these announcements a year or two out. I think it'll come out next year, especially because they're also teasing Doom.
That would be my hope.
I think Doom will be this year. I think Doom will be this year, and Fallout will be.
That's possible. Yeah, I mean, but this is most likely Bethesda, not like Obsidian,
right?
And but I mean, they're still. I don't know how you compare the bugginess of Bethesda. Game to Obsidian.
Oh, so it's a year. It's going to come out in a year. It's going to be worth playing in 2 years.
Yeah, that could be very possible.
I'm curious to see what the state of their engine is, and like, I mean, I thought they were starting over, or like building a new engine, and not just like basing it off the Skyrim stuff. Because I believe Fallout was built off the Oblivion stuff, and then Skyrim is kind of new, but also still last gen tech. So, I'd be really curious to see how like what this game actually looks like, and what new jank shows up and what jank they've fixed.
that's the most perfect way you could have stated that, because Skyrim was a while ago now, and so what is Fallout 4? What is next gen Fallout?
Next gen jank.
Feel like what new jank do we get?
Man, those eyes look great. I just wish they were in the character.
Does Vats return? And if so, and most likely does, can you target the crotch again?
Crotch targeting.
Speaking of dicks, shoot a rat in the crotch.
Speaking of dicks, yeah.
Speaking of dicks,
what region of the world does Fallout 4 take place in?
Antarctica.
Canada.
Same place.
Canada could be interesting.
It could be Canada.
Or they could do, I think they do like Midwest.
You think Midwest? You don't think they take it back to the Southwest?
No. I mean, New Vegas is still well received.
Vegas was there. Well, Fallout 1 in.
Is that mainly California? Yeah. That was the big thing with 3. Going out to the East Coast, that was a big shift for them. So, and I don't know enough about Fallout to know what's going on in the rest of the world. Like, could you do Europe? Because
that's a possibility.
I'd like to see some old ass ruined ruins. Like, I think that could be cool. But I could be talking out of my ass because I don't remember if they.
I feel like they avoid
everything's
Russia.
Taking place in the U.S. So what's that?
I think they should avoid Russia. Yeah. It's like the stereotypical go-to, kind of.
I think if you do like
you go there.
Kind of a kind of span between France and Italy, like I think that could be cool. So or London, that could be
London town.
And make it look really super Victorian, so we get another one of those, and then tie it into Assassin's Creed.
So everyone's wearing top hats.
Right.
Top hats everywhere.
Fallout
torn apart.
Fallout 4. Oh shit! I forgot the name of the. What's the new Assassin's Creed name? It's not Victory.
Syndicate. Syndicate.
Fallout Syndicate: The Order 4.
The Order.
Born.
The Order Born.
Souls.
The Order Born. Souls.
That's the best name we came up with on this show. I don't even remember what it said. So.
Sweet and Dour.
That is it for Super Gaming Best Friends. Thanks everybody for listening. We're gonna be back in 2 weeks, but it's gonna be a month, and because
we're gonna play The Witcher and forget to podcast.
I'm okay with doing a Witcher follow up show.
I hope I'm done with The Witcher and playing another game in a month.
Back to Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Good luck to all of you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
B. How do I stop this thing?